Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And today our show is about helping kids cope with loss. But first we have a story about Lucing. Big screens were set in front of the doors and windows to shut out any light that might shine through. Inside the house, Lucing opened the Bible. He read about how Jesus sat on the mountainside and preached to the people. Wu Ming tried hard to listen. The words always flowed away from him. That was because his mind was closed with fear. However, when all the people knelt to pray, Wu Ming knelt with them.
"I do not want them to know that I would rather not belong to the Jesus people,"
he reminded himself. A dozen families had slipped into the merchant's house to hear the reading of the Bible and to pray. If they were caught, they might be imprisoned, or worse. Wu Ming looked for fear on their faces. There wasn't any. In fact, their faces all seemed to shine. Wu Ming was relieved to leave the house and creep back across the rice field. He was even more relieved to flop down on his reed mat, safe at home again. In a few days, Lu Xing was sent away to a cold northern village to work. After he was gone, Wu Ming thought much about the hidden Bible. The next time prayer would be not until the dark of the moon. It gave him much time to think, more time than he really wanted.
"I cannot cross the field alone. My father could not want me to do this thing."
Wu Ming knew better than that, though. It was for this reason that his father had tried to teach him to walk with death beside him. The Jesus people were not always put to death when they were caught, but they did have accidents that no one dared to ask too much about.
"The people who come to the merchant's house from the villages cannot read,"
Wu Ming reminded himself. He was always reminding himself of something. It seemed to him,
"Even the merchant can do only figures. My father Lu Xing can read. I can read. Besides, we have the only Bible."
Again and again, Wu Ming told himself that he could not go. Yet, when the moon was dark, he thought of how his father had trusted him. He slipped across the field like a shadow. He reached and took the Bible from the rock shelf, and he hurried to the merchant's house.
"My voice will quiver like a willow, and I will not be able to read,"
he groaned to himself. He wished that he had not known too much fear to listen while his father had read. Wu Ming opened the Bible to a page marked by a slip of paper. He began with the very words that his father had read at the last prayer time.
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
He read on and on. Then he looked up at the people in the room. There was hungering eagerness on their faces, probably like that of the people who had listened to Jesus on the mountain. Wu Ming closed the Bible. All the people prayed. Wu Ming smiled at them.
"I will return with the book at the next dark of the moon,"
he promised quietly. Then they nodded to him and smiled trustingly. It was not possible to hide the Bible and cross the field without feeling fear. Wu Ming still shivered in the lonely night, but he knew that he would be doing this same thing again and again. He also knew that he would never be just a small boy again. He felt tall in the deep night of the Orient.
"To be poor in spirit is not to be frightened in spirit. It is to be in need of more knowledge of the Savior. Because I have not listened well, my spirit is poor. But now my ears and eyes will be opened."
Once more the Bible was a hidden Bible. Once more Wu Ming lay on his reed mat in safety. He didn't think too much of either of these things. That was because the words in his mind made a sound like music.
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Amen. You know, we can't begin to know how wonderful it is that we are here in the United States with all the freedoms afforded to us, worshiping the Lord when
whenever they
were,
want.
Yeah, they were risking life and limb. And there are Christians in the world that are still doing that in order to be loyal to their Savior. Fantastic. Well, today our show, Helping Children Cope with Loss, Death, and Grief, we are going to talk about how to recognize some of those things. You know, we used to think that a very young child didn't experience grief. And so maybe a parent in their own grief wouldn't be attuned to that. But now we recognize that they do. And we're going to talk about different things. So we'll start with the emotional shock. Emotional shock of a young child often is expressed in a lack of feeling, or at least from our point of view. It actually serves the child a way of detaching until they're better able to cope. Even a child who is torn away from their mother at a very young age, we almost call that the primal wound, has a loss. And we, the adoptive parent, can wonder what's wrong with that child. Why are they overreacting in this and that? And the other thing, as they get older, we'll see things that are exaggerated to us. Maybe they are overly attached to something, or they cry at the drop of a hat. But if we know that they are now beginning to have, they're beginning to respond to some grief that they've had at a very young age. So that is probably the first thing that we need to look at, and we need to understand that very young children have loss, they have grief, and it's not easily replaced. So let's talk about some of the behaviors. We call them regressive behaviors that children go back into when they have experienced a loss, such as needing to be rocked or held, things like having been separated from their biological parent, or having a parent divorced or die. Heaven forbid any of those things, but they're hanging over our heads. Now, looking back, you know, my children were older, but they lost their father. But they could cope, you know, because they were mature. They were 11 or 12 years old. And we often think that a child that age, it's harder on them to have that loss, but actually they're coping. And some of the ways that we cope are crying, trying to go about our daily lives as much as possible, reading the scripture, praying, talking it with other loved ones or with counselors. But a very young child doesn't have these coping skills. So how do they cope?
Well, I know that when my daughter was just turning 7, my mom died, and it was on the day of her birthday party, and I went home from the hospital and I told her, and immediately, you know, we had tears, and then she wanted to still have her birthday party, and I told her I thought that's what grandma would want her to do, and we did. But I was questioned by some people, you know, how could she want that? She was very close to her grandma. How could she want that?
Yeah, just live next door.
Yeah, but that was her way. The emotional shock that you talked about, mm-hmm. I think, was her way of being able to detach from that immediate grief. It was too overwhelming at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For her to handle it.
And detachment is okay. I mean, I've had children come to school after one of their parents passed away. And we knew that it had to be a terrible shock, but they wanted to be at school. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's giving them a chance to continue in a normal way as they process something that is a horrific shock. I mean, the scriptures tell us death is that last enemy to be conquered. We weren't made to die. It's not anything normal. We never like it. And yet, as Christians, we do not grieve as the unchristian do, because we have the hope. But it still is a hard thing.
It still has rocked their world,
mm-hmm.
and it has changed everything. And so to be able to have something not change, I think,
yes.
is their best coping mechanism. My other daughter at the time was only 1.5, and she has fleeting memories of her grandma, yet she became very clingy. She needed to be around me or her dad all the time. And she still talks about it now.
Mm-hmm.
And she still worries about it. But I think what she went through was also the grief of all of us.
Yes.
As she had to see us, you know, sad and crying, and life was all of a sudden different.
And I want to make sure we talk about, so should a parent who is experiencing a lot of grief, should they keep those emotions sheltered from the child?
Well, I don't think that's normal or possible for some. I did try to keep mine from the youngest, especially. I mean, sure, they were behind closed doors a lot more, but I still sat down and talked with my 7-year-old and said, yes, I am very, very sad. And I cried with her. But for the little one, we didn't do so much in front of her. But she could still feel the difference, and she could feel, you know, everybody's pain, but we did try to shield her even more than.
And it's interesting because we now know with brain research that young children, infants and young children, till about the age of 2, have this tremendous amount of mirror neurons. And so they are picking up a lot of communication other than verbal. And they're very attuned to the mother. So whatever the mother's going through, they are impacted by it. They can't help but be impacted by it. And they might go through their lives not understanding some of their desire.
Idiosyncrasies.
Yes. So I would ask, does that youngest child who went through this experience, does she have any clingy, or at this age, is there anything that still in your mind's eye maybe exhibits?
Oh, absolutely. She's what I fear is going to become a hoarder, because she can't give things up. A piece of paper, a wrapping paper, something you wrote on. My husband and I were cleaning her room out for her the other day while she wasn't there, because for her to see us throw this stuff away, which was literally garbage. It was garbage. 2 bags of garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, big black bags of garbage. It's too traumatic for her to watch it be thrown away. And I've asked her, why? Why do you want to keep this? I mean, it's a picture that you started drawing. It didn't turn out right, so you drew another one. Or it's something I signed my name on, or it's my old credit card, or anything like that. Why do you want to keep it? And she knows exactly why. And she says, because someday it's going to have memories. And we just went through that this week. You know?
Yeah, so that's pretty fresh in your mind. Okay, well, we're looking at expressions of grief in a young child, trying to understand and be sensitive to it. When we come back, we'll continue with the list. We're going to talk about some maybe explosive emotions and acting out behavior that a child in a grieving process would display. We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. Rose Gamblin with a Mind Matter Minute.
I wish there was a vaccination against depression, mainly because I see how depression affects children. Antidepressant medications are increasingly being prescribed for them. Can you believe that? It's estimated that at least 4% of preschoolers are clinically depressed, and that's about 1 million little children. And the rate of increase for school-aged children is even more alarming at 23%. It's as if our children are catching a depression virus. I'd say the best way to prevent depression in your child is to make sure you aren't depressed. Remember, your state of mind matters.
Mind Matter Minute is brought to you by MRG Media Ministry. For more information on topics about learning, go to mrgmediaministry.com. That's mrgmediaministry.com.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How many people will be in heaven?
Have you ever tried to count snowflakes? One winter day, I looked out my home office window as a few flakes drifted by. Absent-mindedly, I began to count, just for fun. I think I gave up around 150. They were beginning to fall too fast. If I'd kept at it, I'd have gone crazy. We had a blizzard that day. I wonder if John had the same problem when he was writing chapter 7 of Revelation. God was showing him what would happen at the end of time. Here's how he described one of the scenes he was shown. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, Revelation 7:9 NIV. That's a lot of people. But even with such a multitude singing praises, God will know if you're not there. He'll be searching the throng for your face and mine. And when he sees us, he'll smile. John also wrote, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Revelation 21:3 NIV.
I know how many people will be in heaven, a great multitude, plus one, me.
If you'd like to learn more about God and his amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Well, welcome back to Homeschool Companion. Kathy and I are talking about how to deal with grief and loss and death with a young child, and we were discussing some of the characteristics and behaviors that they might exhibit. And she just had shared with us what her daughter, who experienced her first loss at the age of 1.5, still.
And she's now 9.
Yeah, and still has that, and doesn't always understand herself why she believes that keeping these memories are so important. But we as the adults in her life can recognize it. Another expression of grief in the young child might be explosive emotions and acting out behavior. A child may have feelings of anger, terror, frustration, and helplessness. And of course, as adults, we have those feelings as well, but we don't always scream and act out of control. So this acting out with this child just reflects their insecurity because something's happened in their life that they had no control over. And so as they're dealing with their loss, this is unspeakable rage. And we see this more often in boys. Girls will, you know, maybe just cry, but little boys will just be enraged. And I know from, you know, in the olden days, we'd give them a good spanking and tell them to straighten up. But now we try to understand as parents, what is going on? Why are they acting this way?
Well, here's an example for you. A student at school was adopted as an infant to a loving set of parents. But right there, I think, as you have pointed out, that adopted child is welcomed into this home, and it can just be a wonderful experience, especially if the parents can nurture and be patient and understanding in helping this child grow when they've already had what you've called the primal wound.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this child is 5, 6 years old, Mom disappears. She leaves. So now he's had another loss. He's lost the only mother he's ever known. And she's a drug addict. And she keeps trying to get her act together, but she never comes back. It's been about a year. And then Dad gets put in jail. So now he's had his third loss because his dad's in jail. And he's living with other relatives. Very strict, unbending older relatives. There's my example.
Makes your heart just bleed because they might not be listening to this show and they might just be punishing his bad behavior, his acting out behavior. And so they're addressing the symptom of this little boy who really has a loss.
Now, when he's in school, he gets in trouble every day, but not bad enough to, say, be suspended. I mean, he's very young, or be kicked out of school, but he gets in trouble every day. When he's with his older relatives, he is in an extremely strict environment. And there's, I mean, he still acts out, but there's not too much trouble. Now, when the dad gets out of jail, all chaos breaks loose. Mm-hmm. When I've had him in a different situation, say a party, absolute chaos, screaming, yelling, refusal to do anything, hitting, punching, biting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you suggest in a situation like that where this child needs so much?
Yes. Well, and you have to keep the other children safe. You have to keep them safe. And so really, you know, he needs professional help, not just a kind, kind understanding spirit, which would definitely be a blessing in his life if he had that consistently. But he's had so many losses against him already. And, you know, the thing of it is, I have heard some great stories of children who had these kinds of experiences. And when they found the Lord, they were able to miraculously, and I know it was God's spirit, they were able to become wonderful fathers and stop the pain. And so these young people like this that I hear about, I just put them on my prayer list and I intercede for them, because I can't go out there and be their counselor. You know, I just, my heart breaks for them, but I know that God can. And that's what we need to be doing right now, is interceding for all of the young people that we know that have brokenness, because there is an evil force seeking whom he can destroy from the time we are conceived. He really does try to ruin our lives. So we're talking about expressions of grief, and we're just about coming to the end of the show. We could probably make another show. Maybe we'll make another show on how to help, because there are ways that we can help. And I want to conclude with the final thing that I've noticed, and that is children will either ask the same question over and over again, or they'll say the same thing. And it's very irritating if you've ever experienced that, you know, can I kind of thing. But we have to watch, because that also is an expression of a very young child when they're in the grieving process. So as we conclude the show, we want to encourage every parent to try to seek to understand first their child before they insist on their child understanding them. And to know that Jesus Christ gives us that benefit. He knows us. He understands us. And now he wants us to understand him. And with that, we have one last thing to say, and that is,
God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more information, go to myhomeschoolcompanion.com. That's myhomeschoolcompanion.com.